Reverend Catherine Mungo Rifkin. Praise the name of the Lord. And then second is going to be Minister Mike Streeter. Amen. 10 minutes tops. And third going to be Minister Tony Berry. 10 minutes tops. And so, amen. And we know that I know these folks, and they got the Word of God on the inside of them. Hallelujah. And so they're going to share with us what God gives them tonight. Amen. Who's got a good watch? Susie, you got a watch, sister? No. Miss Ada got one. All right. Here's what you do, Ada. When you get to 8 minutes, just lift up two fingers, which means you got 2 minutes left. When you get to 9 minutes, lift up one finger. That means 1 minute left. Amen. That's not being disrespectful. We're just trying to keep it in order.
All right. Well, I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for your anointing upon your word tonight and your anointing upon me as I speak. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give you a word tonight. The word is diligence. Diligence. The meaning of diligence means pay special attention to the emphasis on the work of, wait a minute, let me find it here. That's not the one. Okay, this is it right here. Diligence, the effort to do one's part while keeping faith and reliance in God. The effort. So we have to make an effort, don't we? And we have to, and while we're waiting on God to move, we have to praise our way through it. We have to praise during the process of waiting. Sometimes it just doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it don't even happen in a week. Sometimes it don't happen in a month. Sometimes it don't even happen in a year. Sometimes it don't even happen in 5 years. But what do we do while we wait? We praise our way through the process. So, you know, we praise our way through the process, and I'll kind of fix it, kind of like, you know, like you're going through a tunnel. If you keep moving, you're going to come out on the other end. Now, if you stand still, you're just going to stay there. But if you keep moving, you're going to come out at the end of that tunnel. So while we're going through the process, we're going to keep on praising. You got to see yourself praising your way through whatever you are going through. And this is the book that I'm reading, How Deep Are the Stripes by Bob Yandian. I tell you, if you get this book and you read it, your life will change forever. You will never be the same after reading this book. It is a blessing. But diligence is an effort to do one's part while keeping faith. We got to stay in faith. We got to keep our faith. Diligence works in every area of our lives. Being diligent works in every area of our lives. It works in our businesses. We have business people here. You work in businesses. Diligence works in our home. It works in our personal life. It works with our children. Lord, it works with our children. Whenever you were singing that song, Hallelujah, that's the first song that Cedric learned. And this is before I had Crystal or Joshua. I take him to the clinic to get the shots, and he would sing that song. And I would tell him, sing the song for the nurse. He would sing one verse of it. He'd stand there and sing Hallelujah. So that brought back so much tonight when you sang that song, because Cedric got a good report yesterday. So the word of God started in our children long before the word of God started in our womb, praying over our children, talking to them. I was diligent when it come to praying over our children and reading the word of God to them while they were inside of me. So now when I see God moving in their lives, it started way back then. Hallelujah started way back then. And if Cedric was here tonight, I'm sure he would love to sing Hallelujah. But then just praising through the process, all right? Diligence works in our body, being diligent works in our body. So sometimes we go through stuff, but we have to be diligent, don't we? We have to be diligent about getting enough sleep. And if you're on medication, you're diligent about taking your medicine. You're diligent about exercising. You're diligent about walking in love. You're diligent about showing love. You're diligent about giving. Diligent goes far beyond sometimes our natural ability to even think. Just being faithful. Diligent pays off with great rewards. Being diligent. And now, going back to when our children were small, I was diligent to pray with them, pray over them. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, that word is still on the inside of them. That word is what's keeping them. That word is what's got them where they are today. Why? Because I was diligent. So we need to be diligent. Now, I'm going to read this to you. And I want you to pay special attention to the emphasis on the work of diligence. See, you have to work at being diligent, don't you? You have to work at it. So I'm reading to you from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 27. I'm reading to you. It says, matter of fact, could you all put that scripture on the board? How many minutes, Ada? 6 minutes. Okay. If they could put the scripture up for me, I apologize for not getting it to you guys. But anyway, I want you to pay special attention to the words that I say, because it is a work. In Proverbs 4th chapter, the 20th verse says, well, this is some words within the verses, so you just listen to these words. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them. Let's go to 20, verse 20. Okay. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read these words to you that I have in the book here. Okay, I'm up. Just listen to me, because it's going to take too much time for me to go through it. One of the words says, attend to my words. How do we attend to the word of God? By reading, studying it, and keeping it before us, right? Attend to my words. Incline your ear to his word. That means we have to hear. We have to hear what the word of God's saying. And we need to read it so we can hear it, right? We need to come to church so we can hear. So it says, incline your ear. Let them not depart. How many of you know sometimes the word wants to depart from us? And how many of you know it's the hardest thing to read? Have you all figured that out sometimes? It's easy for me to pick up my iPad and just scroll through and look at dresses, look at shoes, look at flowers, look how to make things, look at arts and crafts. I love looking at arts and crafts, but sometimes it's hard to read. I'm just being honest. But I make myself do it. I make myself do it. So let them not depart from us. Keep the word. What do we have to do? Keep the word. Then we have to find the word. We go into the scriptures and we find what suits our situation. So if you're going through something tonight, go in the scriptures, find what you need, and stand on that word of God. As Cedric was preparing for his PET scan, I was standing on the word where it says the promises of God. Whatever he promised, God, you promised my son a long life. He'll have a good PET scan. I don't receive nothing else but that. So I stood on the promises of God. I kept them. I had to find in the word of God where it says that God says he'll do what he says he'll do. Amen? He'll do what he says he'll do. And then it says, put away corrupt mouth or guard our heart. We have to guard that word once we get it in us. We have to guard the word of God. We have to guard it. Let your eyes look close. We have to look into the word of God. Gaze straight ahead. Stay focused on the word of God. Don't let nothing sidetrack you. Don't get off focus, because there's so many things want to get us off focus. Ponder your path. Let your ways be established. Turn not to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So we can just remove ourselves from anything that's going to keep us from where God is trying to take us. Amen? So tonight, we want to be diligent, right? We're going to be diligent by attending to the Word of God and staying focused. So everybody stand up and say, I got 1 minute. I'm down to 30 seconds now. Say, I will be diligent to serving the Lord. I'll be diligent to reading His Word. I'll be diligent to loving God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul, and everything in me. I will be diligent. All right, that's it.
All right. Hallelujah. Glory. Give God praise for His word, will you? Amen. All right. Minister Streeter, I think there's another mic still up there. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Thank God that I made it. My body was saying one thing, not to come. But I said, how, you know, I can be blessed if I come. Amen. So, thank God. I'm going to a few verses of scripture. Came to my heart was from Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, 25, maybe 26. I'm going to have the God kind of faith. Jesus and the disciples was traveling. And they had come from Bethlehem. He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came to it happily, might find that in their own. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem and they went into the temple and then away some things happening. But what happened was within 24 hours when they came back, morning they passed by that fig tree and they saw that the fig tree had dried up from the root. That's God speaking. The 22nd verse says, Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. I have the God kind of faith. Amen? He said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, everybody say whosoever, that's me, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Whatsoever he said. Now he give us clear instruction on what to do. And the mountain can be different things. Not an actual mountain. It could be cancer. It could be any other kind of sickness or ailment or anything like that. When you believe that those things that what you said shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you said. That means if you want healing from that counselor or anything, you speak to it. He said, whosoever shall say, say. You're going to have to do that with your mouth. You're going to have to do that with your mouth. So, 24th verse says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. He said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. And so believing. Now, it may be the fig tree didn't, you couldn't see the actually drying up of it that first day, but it was happening. A lot of things people be believing. Believe what he said do, and have that kind of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But, you know, you're to have the faith in God, what God said. Now, he said it here. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Amen? But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So one of the things that's in this is that you have to forgive and don't have any unforgiveness about you when you believe in God. So work with him. But his word says, I'm going to go over it again because I want you to get this. These things need to be shown in our lives every day. Need to be shown here at the church and everywhere. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. I had to speak to my body. And I had to say, you know, it was weak. I noticed it was weak. And I had to say, you know, strength come or weakness be gone. The main thing, be gone, because be removed. So I could know that I could come on to church. Amen? But we have to say those things. We know that whenever in Genesis, the book of Genesis, God spoke, and that's what he did. He said, you know, let there be the earth and things like this. So what he spoke. So here's the similar thing he telling us. He said we can speak to whatever mountain it is, whatever it is. If it's pain in your body, you can speak to that pain and say, pain, be removed from my body. You can say whatever the sickness is, if you know the name of it, be removed from your body. And believe it. But you got to believe it. And you got to believe it before you even see the results of it or see the manifestation of it. But you got to believe first. Amen? So speak to that mountain and say unto that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. But you know, you can't doubt. You can't have any doubt in your heart whatsoever with what you're saying. But you got to believe. And believe that those things which you said, you got to say it. He said here, it's more times you got to, you know, you got to say what he said, and then you got it, okay? You shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he do what? Say it. You got to have what he said. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them then, not later on. But you receive it as you speak it, as you believe it, that you got it. And a lot of us, you know, you give up before that happens. You don't see some things changes. You may not see it that moment, but it's not the moment to doubt or to disbelieve, but to believe that you have what you prayed for. This is some powerful stuff. It says have, you know, the first of what I did first was have the God kind of faith. That's what that have faith in God means. You have the God kind of faith. And that God kind of faith is a faith that speak to things. You know, if you don't want something, you can speak to it. And you can speak against some things. And it'll come to, you know, and those things will come to pass. But you got to believe this now. You can't have any doubt or any second thought about it or nothing like that. It's what he said. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. 1 minute. Amen. So that's it. The main thing about it is to encourage you is to have the God kind of faith. And that faith moves mountain. Amen. So just believe it and receive it. Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, here's another part of it. Ephesians. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, said, but be full of the Holy Spirit. Speak into yourselves psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart before the Lord. Okay, here's what it says in the Greek. Never forget it. But be being full. Now, brothers and sisters, that's where a lot of the body is not at anymore. They're not full. You know, they've lost the three F's the Lord gave us, we did before. They've lost the fresh anointing. They've lost being full. And they've lost their fervency. Amen? But God wants us full and continually full of the Word of God, right? And full of His Spirit, right? Well, brothers and sisters, we come to pray twice a week, and you know, before other services too. But the other day when we were together, it might have been Friday, I think it was. Kenneth said something about praying in tongues. I said we need to revive the art of praying in other tongues. Now listen to me, brothers and sisters. You're in a spirit-filled church. I pray every one of you have been endued with power from on high. I pray you have. And if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and I ain't even looking at my clock. Okay, I'm back up 2 minutes. That's 12. We'll go 22. If you received a baptism in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues, you need to stay full. And you need to practice your prayer language. You need to get in the presence of God and pray in other tongues a lot. We were in here one day last week or this week. I think it was last week. The Lord said, you know, even in tongues, because I quote this a lot, that we need times of refreshing from the presence of God. Well, did you know Isaiah says it this way? With another tongue, God will speak through us, and this is the refreshing. There is a refreshing when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a refreshing that comes when you pray in other tongues. I've got to the point in my life that I want to do so much of that I run here to pray. And then when I'm in the car by myself, I'm praying. Then when I'm in the yard like today, I'm praying. I'm praying in other tongues because I'm learning the scope and the value of speaking in other tongues. The scope is the whole realm of it, you know, the giftings that are involved in praying in other tongues, but also the value that I understand. I charge myself up. God wants you charged up. You know, we had a battery issue with a car yesterday, and Brian called me, and he said the battery was dead. Well, I put the tester on it, and the battery tested good, but it also has an alternator tester on it, and said the alternator was good. I was sitting over here a while ago, and the Lord says, you're praying in other tongues is like the alternator that charges the battery. Did you hear what I said? Praying in other tongues. Brothers and sisters, I could talk an hour about the supernatural experiences that we've enjoyed and walked through while, when, and because we were praying in other tongues. The greatest breakthroughs my wife and I have had in our life as a Christian has came by us spending much time praying in other tongues about that stuff. Huh? That boy's name came to my wife while she was praying in other tongues. You understand? A house came to us while she was praying in other tongues. Just praying in the Spirit. The Bible says in the 14th chapter of Corinthians, Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, he said, when you're speaking in tongues, your spirit is praying. And your spirit is praying unto God. And then in Romans 8, Paul said it this way. Likewise, the Spirit comes along together with, the word there in King James seems helpeth. The word in the Greek means come along together with against. When you're praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit comes along together with you to pray against weaknesses that you know not to pray as you ought. Amen. Now, I'm like Brother Streeter. I even told my sweet little wife, who is home, I told my sweet little wife, I said, man, I might stay home tonight. I was dealing with symptoms. And I went in there, I got up and I went in there to take a shower. And you know, the Holy Spirit, right on the inside, he said this to me. He said, son, you got up and went to work feeling worse than you do tonight. Back in my day of going to work, he said, son, you've gotten up and, made myself go to work. And you know, the devil and your flesh and all and everything else that comes against you, because the Spirit of God wants to do good to you while you're here. The devil knows this. He don't want you to be here. The devil's hollering in my head, man, you can stay home. You got a good reason to stay home tonight. Look at you. You know what I'm saying? And then the Holy Spirit on the inside says, son, you felt worse than this and got up and went and worked. Because those were times, if I didn't go work, I wouldn't have money to pay bills. But getting to my point, I even said this to Sissy. When we dealing with stuff is when we need to be in the house, if we can be in the house. Are you with me? We need to be in the house. We need to be in the house. Well, Brother Tony, what are you saying in your last three minutes? I'm telling you, listen, brothers and sisters, if you're not spending quality time praying in other tongues, you need to start. It was so important in Acts 1, Jesus, they were saying what Jesus said. Luke, the writer of Acts, said it this way. He commanded them to go to Jerusalem to receive the promise. And if you really know that the church began not in Acts 2:4, but in John 20, 21 and 22, when he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The church began in John chapter 20, by the way. The ones that received the Holy Spirit in the new birth in John 20, he told them, he said, now you, I'm commanding you, you wait on the promise. Huh? And what happened? They got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Amen? I exhort you. I say it is a vital necessity today to walk in the blessings of God thereof that he has for us in this perilous time we're living in. If you know and can, you need to be praying a whole lot in other tongues. You need to be praying in the Spirit. I have prayed many times in the Spirit when I didn't know how to pray about something. I have prayed many times in the Spirit by the unction of the Spirit before something come up and somebody come to me and said, I already got it. I done prayed this up earlier today. I already got it. And then the revelation of this came to me and I shared it with you. I'll share it again. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying out things ahead of time. You're praying out the mysteries of God. You are. So I exhort you in my next 2 minutes. I'm closing shortly. I exhort you to pray much in the Holy Ghost. And Jesus commanded them to start with it, the baptism. He visited the Orthodox Jew. He visited the Jewish proselyte. He visited the Samaritans. And he visited the Gentiles. All four religious groups of that day, the Lord Jesus Christ visited, because he's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, by the way. He visited all the religious groups, and they experienced Pentecost. And like my mentor taught in a book, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room or Beyond the Door, it is vital for you to have that in operation in your life. You, brothers and sisters, you just don't know. I could write you a book. Over here all the time, the Lord brings back times. Son, you remember when you was praying in the Spirit, this happened? And my mentor said it this way too, and I'm going to close. My mentor said it this way. When he was in ministry, I heard him at Rhema, he said, the greatest manifestations of the Spirit of God came in the times that I prayed much in other tongues. That's enough there to help me. But see, I know by experience that it works. So I exhort you. And if you hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, come up, we'll lay hands on you and God will fill you. That brother, I'm gonna shut up, but that brother that got full, that come, that was a friend of yours, he got full. I wonder, does he really know what happened? Does he really know he went from a six-cylinder to a V8? Does he really know he went from a two-barrel to a four-barrel, even fuel injection with a turbo? He got all that. And now he needs to crank that turbo up. How you do that, Brother Tony? Mandre que ser erudor, pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen? So that's my exhortation to you in this little bit of time tonight. Amen? Hallelujah.
Wow. Have we been ministered to this evening? Diligence. Walking by faith, God's kind of faith. And praying in other tongues, or praying in the Holy Ghost. And everything was the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet right now.